You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Have you ever had one of those days? I have had one of those days for 2 days now. So I know, you all can identify with little things, those little irritating, a death by a thousand bee stings, you know, those little tiny little, or like one person said, death by a thousand duck bites. I'll tell you, there's these little things that keep nagging at you. And on those moments in time where you're walking or you're home and things are pleasant or they're just more spiritual, the light is just right and your solitude is just has that right timber for you and you're praying and everything seems to just kind of connect, even in your sorrow. That's great. Well, what about the times where our humanness just gets to be so human that we just don't even want to deal with life? Well, that kind of happened to me. Spent several hours with a dentist yesterday, so that was always fun. And then volunteered last night and all kinds of, everybody was on edge. So it was the kind of thing where people were acting out and just was one of those days. Although, you know, if you just keep plowing through and you smile and you just look at what's good, and that's sometimes hard to do, but look at what's good and look at your mission and move on, move through, move on, move with, then, you know, you got a little bit of grounding. And that's what gets us the most, is when we tend to be like that helium balloon. Our grounding gets lost. Our feet are not planted in gravity. I can guarantee you, if we were riding in a plane and a door opened up and all of a sudden things started flying out the door because the differential and the pressure, and we start having to deal with the gravity situation, we wouldn't be thinking. We would just be reacting. And that happens to us a lot. So I'll give you an example from my own life, because I want to get into this concept we started yesterday with the independence, personal independence. Declaring your Independence Day, releasing yourself, escaping from, getting out of your own tyrant, your own tyranny, the tyranny you put yourself under on a daily basis that takes up energy. Yes, there are people out there who take your energy. There are people out there who take advantage of you. There are people out there who are nasty, mean, don't understand. There are situations out there you just don't feel you can deal with. You have to pay those bills. You keep getting hooked into something. Even today, here's just a practical example. So I am on Skype and all of a sudden it's gone. All right, so I do what I usually do, and I'm trying to get back on, and then I get back on for a second, then I don't get back on. And so there's all these different things as I'm trying to connect with the person on Skype, I'm also having to think of all these other things. Well, did I pay the bill? Is there something in the entire environment? Is it something on Skype? Is it something in just this particular area? And then I do what you usually do. You unplug this, unplug that, turn everything off, reboot, plug it back in, nothing. Getting closer and closer to airtime. And I call Jennifer and say, you know, don't know what's going on here. So then, you know, you go through all the little prompts, calling the internet service. And it's just, you know, it's like, okay, push this button, push this button, push this button. And hoping, thank goodness, my service is that you don't have to wait for a long time. So that was just awesome. Very happy people on the other end. That was awesome and not always expected. So do the same thing and you realize they've got some kind of control over there. In other words, they can say, oh yeah, I saw where you were kicked off of the internet service. All right, well, let's see if I can change your modem. And I thought, wow, you can change my modem. I don't even know what kind I have, but you can change it. So so they had to do this and that. And I'm tooling around while they're doing their command central thing. And pretty soon, hey, I'm up and running. But those little irritations. So it's like 2 minutes before it's time to get on the air. It's like, oh, where am I? Where's my mind? I can't really collect my mind. What's happening here? Why did that happen? And let's see what dates it is. And what am I doing here? And what am I doing there? All of a sudden, it's very easy to get scattered like little chicks. Very easy to get scattered. So how do you reground? So you can then put your attention into your commitment of yesterday, which is gaining your own personal independence. And part of that is by being completely dependent on your higher power, on God, on Yahweh, on the I Am. Okay, so how are we going to do that? That's going to be the mission of this program. So yesterday, as I'm volunteering, as I do every week, people were like just in a mood for whatever reason. Sometimes this kind of goes in waves and it's very collective and we all get a little snappy for some reason. And there were several people who were complaining about the food. And the woman who cooks the food puts her heart and soul into this. It's all volunteer. And she's a real character. She looks like a character. She acts like a character. She's a very headstrong person. But she gets there early, two and a half hours earlier than the people get there. She has the big old pots going. She takes whatever she can, or she buys it herself. Oftentimes she will just take whatever's been donated and she will do what she can do and put things together. And at the last minute, she's saying, I need some cans of corn. And we're all scattering around saying if there's cans of corn anywhere in the building. And she does this, and she puts her heart and soul into it. And we're not efficient because it's different volunteers all the time, except for the cooks. There's one cook and one very silent big guy who's always just there quietly chopping the vegetables. But his ears are open. He hears everyone saying, we're running out of salad. And all of a sudden he just quietly walks over. He walks to a different part of the building and he just comes up with salad. And so we're working together. And to have one person out of 50 say, this doesn't taste good, this is awful, and they're having their own day, they're having their own issues, and it's true. But it begins to be like a domino effect. And the woman who does all the cooking, the cook got wind of that. And she really was upset the whole evening because one person did this to her. One person was complaining about the food. Now, again, it's kind of like when you're on a bystander role, you can kind of try to mediate, trying to kind of pat it over here a little bit and looking at it, trying to change the perspective just a little bit. One person out of all these people who are saying thank you and bless you and thank you and bless you and tell the chef it's great. And but that one thing can throw you off. So when something in you is not grounded, as a cook and as a chef, she's very grounded. She knows her stuff and she knows her stuff. She's been doing this a long time. She volunteers. She really makes a deal out of it. This is her thing. She just gets into it. And when she's cooking, stay out of her way. And if she says she doesn't want her food in that kind of bowl, you do not put her food in that kind of bowl. But something in her, what? I don't know. But something in her was so rooted, like a tree, rooted down in the ground in some kind of wound inside of herself, that one thing, that one person disrupted her whole evening. I mean, she first got very angry, and then she would say here and there, I feel like I'm going to cry. I'm just going to cry. So something got triggered in that wound. Of course, it wasn't my role then. My role is to get the food out on the plates and go serve it. in whatever way I could find for that particular person, the guy out there, to get him to stop. And, you know, so there's all different ways. And then it kind of triggered someone else to follow suit. And they were complaining. And other people, it's interesting to see how humanity plays out. The other people were there. A person who was very intoxicated and I obviously had a mental illness, no teeth, 3 or 4 different coats, and it's 80 degrees outside, a couple different hats, a big garbage bag. And he felt the moment and in his way tried to overshadow the negativity. In his own way, he started saying, you know, God bless you. I'm just, you know, thank you for this food. And he didn't make any comments about the people that were complaining. What he did, though, was become a counterbalance. So here's a man without teeth, who's intoxicated, who lives on the streets, who I can see has a mental illness, untreated. He's there with his garbage bag. He smells like he's a homeless person. And he rises like who Jesus said, you don't know where you're going to give me a drink of water. And he rises above this. And in his way, he becomes the counterbalance to the negativity that was overtaking the room. So you see how this ability to break from the tyranny of any given situation and become a force, no matter who you are and no matter where you are, is right there in front of us day in and day out. So we get to learn how to do that on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We're walking on this road together on Dr. Michelle Live, you and me, 5734-BREAD-4. You can text, you can call, you can also email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You can log on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com and get the previous podcast. So you can get a little idea of the themes that we go through. Oftentimes we'll take a whole week, sometimes longer, sometimes one day, on different themes, because these themes never grow old. We're always searching. We are always in transition. We always have mental issues. And there is a fine line. I had an attending physician one time, an instructor, when I was training in psychiatry, who it was a nurse, a male nurse at a VA, who we were talking about this particular attending and how, you know, they really knew their stuff. They were very into bipolar disorder. And the nurse said that he asked the attending physician once, what's the difference between mental health and mental illness? And the attending physician, maybe you heard that, snapped his fingers. And basically, it's true. If you've ever been so shaken in your reality that you find yourself doing things or just boom, one minute you're doing your life, the next minute you can't hold up your head. Or if you've ever been in a situation, maybe you yourself went from never having a psychosis to having a psychosis, hearing voices. Maybe you are schizophrenic. Maybe you are bipolar. Maybe you've had a psychotic depression, or maybe you had medication that put you into a delirium, different than a psychosis. It is kind of a psychosis, but it's because of medication. So we look at it as a delirium and not a dementia or not a true mental illness, because it's caused by a medicine or it's caused by a substance. And all of a sudden, you can't function in your world. all you have to do to understand this is go to some of the science fairs for kids or the science museums where you have those. It's either visual or it can be auditory. We pick up those telephones and you talk into the telephone and somehow it's feeding your voice back to you or you hear something else and you get completely disoriented. Doesn't take us much to get disoriented. So you understand how that happens. And just like that, poof, the other thing can come about. Jesus can rise up into a crowd of people who are at varying levels of intoxication, starvation, mental illness, all the above. Some people have their homes, they have food, they just come in and pose. They just come in and eat because they don't care. They have no idea. They have no whatever their deal is, they come in and take. They're takers. There are takers in the world, and there's nothing wrong with calling people takers if they're takers. It doesn't mean calling them out on it. I serve them just like I serve everyone else. And I may have a play around with them a little bit or say something to them if we get into a conversation about it. But the reality is this is the world we live in. So how are you going to keep that one root into the earth? How are you going to, in your way, right now you're listening to this, so you have some kind of apparatus with which you can listen. You have a phone with which you can get the app. So if you want to change the world, get the app right there. There's all kinds of cool people on Breadbox Media. You have a laptop, you have a desktop, you have all kinds of ways. And so you have some function in the world. You're functioning in some respects, or you wouldn't be listening to this right now. So how are you going to keep your grounding? It's just as easy for all of us, you, me, everyone, to lose our grounding. I saw a picture recently of a tree, of a big giant, hundreds-year-old tree. I'm not quite sure what kind it was. But the concept of looking at this picture was realizing that it could not, and I think the point in the book that I saw it in was exactly this, and it really resonated with me, that you have to, in order to grow as huge and big and awesome and reach toward the sky and be there as a shade tree and be, and let those leaves come out and be there century after century after century. I mean, really, think about what that tree has been through. Wherever it is on this earth, it doesn't matter. Because you can bet it's been through a drought. You can bet it's been through a freeze. You can bet it's been through all kinds of disease and pestilence. You can bet it's been through different kinds of animals, maybe some of them even extinct now, if it's been around for centuries. War, poisons, just one thing after another. And yet it still stands. Well, one of the reasons is because it has to be as deep underneath the surface as it is on top of the surface. So when a tree has shallow roots, boom, it becomes top heavy. So you must grow those roots down deep. And for this little gentleman, and I say little because he was actually physically little, for this little gentleman who was, could hardly say yes when you asked him if he wanted salad or if he wanted ice cream at the end. You had to get through a lot of delusional speaking. For that moment in time, the roots in him, and I can only see that as him, as a human being, he's got his roots. Does that mean that somebody gave him those roots way back when? I have no idea. So those roots are planted, and as Jesus said very clearly, you don't know where I'm going to show up. You don't know in whom I'm going to show up. So when you give me, and he's just as much showing up in the guy who complained about the food as the guy who just said, bless you, I thank you for the food. And then he said something about how much he appreciated it. Somehow that came out of this person who literally, if you asked him, do you want ice cream? You had to try to follow some odd little path to find out whether in there he said yes or no. So when you and I look at how are we going to get rid of the tyranny that's inside of us, in one hand, we can look and say, oh man, we've got the luxury in life to have to even worry about internal tyranny, about anxiety and about depression and about, you know, our retirement plan. And we would be no less human and no less able to live if we all of a sudden were transported, like on the original Starship Enterprise, we got beamed over to a never different place where there was no such thing as a retirement plan, no such thing as whether we're going to go to this school or this college preparatory school, or whether we had enough education, or whether we're going to have enough money to go to the marriage counselor. We wouldn't have all that. We would just be, we would be living, and we wouldn't be living necessarily any more impoverished internally than we are now. So all this, to go back to our thesis of yesterday, is that we are where we are right now. So do not beat yourself up and say, oh, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't look at my internal problems because there are others out there with problems much worse than mine. That's true. That helps give you perspective, but it also helps you escape and helps you beat yourself up again. We don't want that, because wherever you are, if you were born into a billionaire's family, you're a human being on this earth that was born into privilege. Just the way it is. If you were born into a drug addict's family and you have always are for want, that's the where you were born into. And where you are right now is a testimony to God's ever-changing, ever-wonderful, ever-mysterious world. You can be at your lowest point and happen to log in, or someone said, as one person, one listener one time said, they couldn't get off the couch. They just were there for 3 or 4 months. They were regretting so many things in their life. And their wife said, you know what? I've been listening to Dr. Michelle. Here, bing, bing, bing. Here's my phone. Would you please listen to this? And that was that. So you don't know where your moment's going to come. Now, is it me? I'm the vehicle. You're the vehicle. That guy yesterday was the vehicle. I don't know his name. I don't know how long the man will live. I don't know his story. All I know is he's a homeless man without teeth who smells pretty darn bad and who rose up like that beautiful blossom and tree to counterbalance the negativity of somebody else who happened to succumb to their own angst and demons at the time. So we can be counterbalances for each other, because at the same time, you will be both of those people eventually. You will be the one who complains and the one who is thankful and grateful. We have to learn how to balance that. We are going to be complaining. We're human. We're going to have headaches and getting kicked off of Skype and not being prepared and worrying about the future and having a dog that throws up. You know, we're going to have all this, or kids that get sick when just on the day that you have some big thing that you've got to get done, or that your mother gets sick at the same time and then your husband gets sick at the same time. You know, the never rains, but it pours. It's going to happen. So we can counterbalance this, put that counterbalance in the bank. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into that independence from your own tyrannical power. How are we going to do that? We're going to revisit these little lies that we tell ourselves, the nice people tell themselves, and how to counterbalance that on the other side of the coin. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text, you can call. You can also log on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com to look at previous podcasts. So let's see. We are going to be looking at our inner tyranny. And what does feeding the homeless have to do with that? Well, it has a lot to do with it. We tell ourselves, and this isn't it, so I'm jumping ship to a little bit different subject. We tell ourselves these little lies we talked about yesterday. Nice people do this. And I wanted to differentiate because lie makes it sound like you intentionally are deceiving yourself. And, you know, early on when you develop these codependent ways of being or these ways of being, or if you are dependent either on someone else to define for you who you are and what you are, if you're dependent on experts before you can get out of bed in the morning, if you're dependent on an abusive man or abusive woman, if you're dependent on anything, we tend to give ourselves reasons why we need to stay dependent, right? So we do that. And sometimes we say, well, that's not so bad. What's the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that somewhere inside of us, we do understand there's a problem. And when we look at the one that we should be dependent on, it's the ever-changing, the ever-present I am. And the one, the being, your higher power, your God inside of you that is not just hanging out there, but, you know, we can only think of it in our human terms as residing in you. But no, our bodies are mechanical vehicles that move around the earth. They're finite and they go away. But they carry around us, not God and us, but they carry around the God in us. And Jesus said, basically, anything I do, you can do it, because it doesn't come from me. It comes from the Father. And you have access as well. And our problems are we don't believe that. We think it's something external we have to put on like a hat or like a coat. We think it's something that we have to constantly put on. And in some ways, yes, we do. We have to constantly take this vehicle and realize that we aren't like that self-driving car, that we aren't self-driving cars, because we can go along for a while being a self-driving car. But just like the self-driving car, there's going to be a period of time where something's going to occur and we can't see what we can't see. We can't be the being we aren't. Just like that car cannot be the being it is not. It could not with, I think it had something to do with the way the light was refracting. And human beings will perfect that, but there will be the next thing that there'll be a problem with. So what do we do in the meantime? We get grounded. We understand, we keep in our mind the picture of the tree with the huge root system. And the root system actually has to be bigger than the canopy. The root system is rarely the same size as the canopy of the tree. So the root system has to penetrate. It has to get deeper and deeper and continue. As you grow, as you age, your root system must get deeper. And as you transform, when you're just a little sprout, so to speak, you could be easily plucked from the ground, and many young sprouts are. And there's lots of trouble. That's why we need parents. Some of us didn't have parents. Some of us didn't have good parents. And we were left to fend for ourselves. And, you know, wow, you're listening to this program now. And if you're one of those people, even if it was emotionally and you made lots of mistakes, you still have the opportunity to keep letting those roots grow and grow and grow. But you have to understand how you counterbalance the very thing that would cause those roots not to be deep. Let me give you an example of as carrying on from last night. So the person, and put yourself in here, you, me, who, for whatever irritable moment they had, decided it was appropriate enough to complain about the food loudly and nastily, not just, you know, this wasn't so good tonight. And that shouldn't, you know, so what after that person's there every single Tuesday for months and months and months and months. So there's one bad night. But for whatever reason, that was the straw that broke that his camel's back yesterday. So you can stay there in all and close out any other root system, any other nutrient, and you can stay right there. I don't like it. It was bad. The person was bad. We need a different person in there. Rather than, he may never reflect on it again, but something in him, if you allow the roots, the little tiny offshoots of the roots, you've seen that in all your plants when you take them out of the little containers in springtime and you're going to plant some impatiens, you all feel that rip of those little root hairs because the roots are constantly sending out little tiny hair fragments that are going to be bigger roots. They're kind of like scouts and exploring. Will you have those scouts and explorers inside of you? And you may not feel them or be aware of them because you got this big old thick root. And you go, this is how I am. This is how I came out. This is what I am. And I know that food was awful. And I'm just going to say it because no one's. And I've heard a lot of the people, several of the people, not a lot, several, have actually said the same words in different venues. I am not going to let anyone command my life again. I hear that. I hear that. When you ask them, please come up from the couch and sit at the table. No, no, because I am not going to compromise my life. Many of them use the same word. I'm not going to compromise my life for anybody. And this is a homeless person, smells like urine, smells like alcohol. So that's a person who doesn't want to get up off the couch. Somebody else, would you help pass this paper? No, I'm not compromising myself for anybody. I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do. Okay. Person yesterday with the food. No, I'm not going to put something, I'm not going to let someone feed me something that doesn't taste good. See, these are all, they're all telling you something at that moment about their life. And if you actually sat down with each one of them, I would 100% something traumatic happened in that person's life. That doesn't excuse behavior. Doesn't mean that their liver is going to be any less affected by alcohol or by the problems that they have. And many of those people are mentally ill, and our society messes up. People get angry, go, well, they're mentally ill. No, they're mentally ill. They should have been more taken care of. But decades ago, some thought of the day was, hey, we could save money. And just by saying, oh, they should be like everybody else. They shouldn't be in institutions. And there's all these abuses in institutions, which there were and still are. So therefore, we just open the doors and they should just be in the community and then let the communities be a community. Well, that didn't go over so well because there was no funding. No one knew how to do it. No organization, no doctors, no anybody. So what are you going to do? Then here we go. 30 years later, this is the problem. We got it right here. A lot of the people have absolute mental illness. They just can't function. But the point of all this is that if you look at all of them, and if I look at all of you, and if you looked at me, you would be able to point at something where that root got so deep, that wound took hold so deeply, that you become that straw that breaks the camel's back, ancient cliche, the one thing by which you cannot go anymore, the old movie, the old play, the story, Fiddler on the Roof, where so much change and all the pogroms came and all the abuses came and people were being, everything was changing. And there was one thing that Tevye just couldn't, that was it. I think it was his daughter liked someone who wasn't Jewish. Whatever it was a beautiful play and a beautiful movie. It was like, I can't do it. This is the one thing I cannot do. And that's it. You take your stands where you can. So how do we not lead with our wounds, not walk with our wounds, but become free from our wounds? Part of that is by admitting we have wounds and by being willing to see them as we give it over. We as Catholics have an awesome thing where we learn how to give it over, or we, at least we begin the words to give it over. And we have many opportunities with which we can give it over and have a little space in there to let our higher power work. We can actually hand over our defects, and that does a heck of a lot of healing. We'll tell you how on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You can also call 573-4BREAD-4 if you'd like to weigh in or text. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. Okay, we're talking about all these little metaphorical things, and I hope these illustrations help. To me, I see how, not everyone thinks, of course, the same way or learns the same way. That's another important point we'll talk about someday. We don't all learn the same way. And husbands and wives, you can really, really end up in communication trouble when you can't understand the way another brain functions. And often, do we really think about our brain and the way it functions? Sometimes we look at the culture we live in and we say, well, no, I have a deficit because I do things this way. I don't put things in files and I don't color code things, but my husband does, or my wife does. And maybe they have a better way because they are more organized, and our whole culture values organization. So other people are more eclectic, or they have, there's a book called Walking on Alligators. I think that's the one. If you haven't heard of it, it's a great one to have whether you are an artist or a writer or not. You could be none of the above. But what it does is it showcases a woman who wrote it was a journalist, and she wanted to be a creative writer. And so what she found was like, okay, well, what's the process? How do we do this? So what she ended up doing is using her journalistic sensibilities and talents, and she began to look at famous writers alive and dead and ways that they wrote. What was their system? And it was as diverse as the most meticulously organized, same thing for breakfast every single day, one pad, one paper, special pen, special time of day, constitution in the morning, walk 15 minutes, come back, to just, writing on a napkin in a bathtub. That people are so varied. I think it was Mike Myers, the comedian, who used to write like some of his movies, his Wayne movies, Wayne's World movies, and Dr. Evil movies, Austin Powers movies, from the bathtub. And there are a lot of writers that write in the bathtub. Many get their best inspirations when they're walking or driving. Some people will just, be eating a hot dog and have to write something down on a napkin, seriously, or a garbage pan. A garbage pail. I've read all those. It's amazing, and it gives you a great appreciation. So number one, to counteract some of these things, to be your own counterbalance, to fight for your own independence, to escape. Some people got free by just leaving. Others had to duke their way out of it. They had to fight their way out of it. But the point is getting your independence from the tyranny that holds you from being less than, holds you to be like a puny little tree instead of the great big giant baobab tree or whatever tree it is that you need to be. So yesterday we talked about those little lies that nice people tell themselves when they're in situations because they just don't want to say no, basically. And it's all rolls around the idea of they say yes when they really want to say no. And there's little modified ways that people let that be known. Asked how you, oh, I'm just fine. And without being really honest about it or say little bits of the truth. Yeah, well, I have a headache. Well, maybe you do have a headache, but that's not the real reason. Now, of course, we have decorum. You don't have to say negative things about anybody if you choose not to do something or you don't want to do something. But it comes to a point where those people, I'm speaking to you, who find themselves in a dependent or codependent situation where your identity cannot exist or doesn't exist without the walls defining it, without somebody else's walls defining it, somebody else's rules defining it. Do you not become that writer because someone in your family of origin said, well, you can't write. Nobody succeeds at writing. You have to be an accountant. And then you became a really good accountant. But the wound is that you really kind of always wanted to write, but you live by someone else's parameters. It is never too late. Some of our most wonderful works of art, music, were written by people in their 80s, 90s. So it is really never too late to start fulfilling these things. So one you have to do is you have to be willing to objectively lay out your defects. Lay them out. Lay out the rules. See what they are. Put them on the table. Empty your suitcase. Empty your backpack. Just let it spread out. You don't, just because you see it doesn't mean that you have to be this guilty person who's saying bad things. That's the other thing that gets ingested. That, and just like with the people that, for whatever reason, say, I'm not going to compromise anymore. And it might just be with getting from a couch to a table where there's silverware and where they don't have to juggle a hot plate and try to find something to eat with. But to them, this is my line in the sand. So if we can bring back our own lines in the sand and look at them objectively, and then we can hand them over. Now, before the break, I wanted to go into some of the things with Catholicism. There are some pretty awesome things, and people in there, I read you that cowboy prayer yesterday. I have no idea what his faith was, but for him, it was the world that God made. When he first made it. So when he's out there without any people, without any walls, without any cities, and he just sees the stars or he sees the ground, he has to deal with it, just him and his horse. That to him was his communion with God. So for you, it might be something completely different. But to put it out there, and in Catholicism, we have some pretty cool things where we have that time between getting up during Mass or when people are starting to go to communion and actually walking up to get communion, where we have an eternity there, an eternity that we can bring up our own backpack, our own package with a bow, our own wagon, our own U-Haul, whatever it is, and however you imagine it. And we can bring it up. And we can collect people as we think on the way or situations. I'm bringing this up. I'm putting it in this box. Or I'm putting it in the U-Haul. I'm putting it in the wagon. And by the time you get up to communion, you're all weighed down with all this stuff and say, okay, grand physician, here it is. You've asked me for it. You said that your yoke is light. Here, I'm believing you. You don't just throw it on because you don't like him. You should just say, I believe you. I'm bringing this to you. It's just the function of my life. It's my broken parts. And it's the people in my life that are broken that I love and I care about. And I'm putting this to you because I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to fix me. I don't know how to fix them. So that's a way of turning it over. I want to give this to you. And I'm depending on you to begin to open up a few little doors, a few little windows. Remember last week, that concept from Jack Kornfield of sitting in the living room of your mind. And I like to think of it as a completely empty living room. You put the chair in the center and then just open the doors and windows. And that's a different way of emptying out that backpack. You can just let's see who walks through. And you can just put that out there. You deal with it. You deal with it, God. So also, don't be afraid to dream and hope and fantasize. That's important. God is a God of hope. Dreams. Yes, those aren't ridiculous. Give them to God. Share them with him. And say, open up some doors for me. Because so far I've been like living in these boundaries and I don't really see an escape route out. So see how you have to do it. And people are very inventive and very industrious. And you never know which route is going to lead you out. They found a place in Auschwitz, I think it was, recently, that had been previously unknown. And it was very deep down and miles and miles. I think it was miles and miles. It was a very big tunnel. And prisoners of war, not prisoners of war, I'm sorry, people in the concentration camps dug it out by hand. How do they do that? Constantly watched, totally starving, no tools, no boxes, no nothing. How did they do that? It's amazing what humans will do. But if we keep getting stuck in our little box worlds, we don't see the amazing things that we can do and that you can do. So, sweet surrender. Sweet surrender is the other thing. It's actually a sweetness to go, really, thank you. I can give this to you. All right, I'm giving it to you. You know what my prison walls look like. I can't see them from the outside, but you can. So, okay, you get to take them out. Liberate me. Help me liberate me. And it'll be like little increments. Some of you will be able to bust out one day, boom, and say all it took was that one moment. And you might know someone like that and think, well, it doesn't happen that way for me. But maybe for you, your way is little by little with that little handful. A little tunnel, a little wakening here, a little wakening there, a little, oh, I didn't know that. This is really an important way to go, is to understand that you are the only you that ever existed, and you have your own special way. And when you hand it with that sweet surrender over to God, and just give it to him in your little bow-covered box or your wagon, whatever it is, or just in your thoughts, the living room of your mind as it goes through, whatever seems to connect with you, there isn't a right way. Just like there's not a right way to, for your mental world to meditate on the rosary. You say the rosary in a prescribed way, right? But there are so many different ways that we have. I urge you, before we talk on Friday, to take advantage of some of them. Maybe it's just going in the back of a church if you haven't been to Mass for a while, and doing it in your mind if you're not going to communion. Just all these little things that you can do. I want you to think about this until we see you on Friday. I am Dr. Michelle. You've been listening and walking with me on Dr. Michelle Live. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And we will revisit this. Oh, no, we're going to carry on, not just revisit, on Friday. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.